Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
We had a dream, we'd go traveling together. We spread a little love and then we'll keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song. Everybody, welcome. HR Happy Hour. I know, Shauna, we need a new theme song, and for the next show, we're going to have a new theme song, so let's just mark that down for now, because I'm now sick of that song. Although, right. I was thinking, Shauna, like, the show's now, we're so popular now, I bet we could book that guy to come on the show, actually. I bet we could get Keith Partridge at this point, so maybe we should work on that.
Awesome.
Hey, this is Steve Bowes, of course, with me, Shauna Morkey, the HR Minion. How are you tonight, Shauna?
I'm doing really good.
That's fantastic. This is HR Happy Hour, episode 16, titled, Is HR Dead? Sort of a good Halloween theme, right? We've got that going
right.
on, Halloween in a couple of days. A little, is HR dead? Is it just needing resuscitation? Is it a...
Does
we're going to talk about
romantic?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that tonight, and I think it's going to be a great show. We've got a really, really great lineup of guests tonight that we're so happy you could join us tonight. So let's just go ahead and introduce our guests, and we'll get right into it. Our first guest, who's making a really big sacrifice to be on the show tonight because his beloved Phillies are in the World Series. And his first pitch came off yet, Frank? I'm not sure, but Frank Roche is with us tonight. How you doing, Frank?
Good, thanks. There's already two outs, two up, two down. So,
but wow. Going swimmingly, huh?
But the intro music already. I'm old enough to have listened to that not in reruns, but in the original. So I know.
you're on the first run of that one, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Frank, of course, is from iFractal and writes the great No HR blog, along with a few other contributors, but it's a fantastic blog, and we're so glad Frank could be here as well. You know, Frank, you and I have a common bond as well. We're both alumni of the University of South Carolina.
Yes, we are. We share that. How about that, small world?
That is. That's true. So thanks, Frank, for being on the show tonight. Our next guest is Mike Vandervoort from the Human Resources blog, a frequent show contributor and a great friend of the show. How are you today, Mike?
I'm doing fine, Steve. Hey, everyone. How you doing?
Great.
We are great. And thanks. Mike's down in Florida working on planning for next year's HR Florida conference. I believe
that's right. We had a planning session today and just came up from having dinner at a buffet, and everybody at HR Florida says to give you guys a shout out. So there you go.
Oh, that's great. we'll hi to our friends in Florida if they're listening. I hope some of them are. And our last guest, who we're really pleased to have join the show tonight, is a really special guest to the show who was on just once before, and we almost didn't let her on. We made a very high bar for her to get on the show, but we're so happy she was a good sport to come back on, which is Chyna Gorman. Chyna, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm happy to be here, even though I kind of beat up on a couple of your guests last time, so I'm happy you let me come back.
Yeah. So, no, we're so pleased you came back on. And Chyna, for those who don't know, and I can't believe anybody who's actually listening to this show would know Chyna. Chyna is the Chief Global Member Engagement Officer of SHRM. And so that's big stuff for us, Chyna, to get a guest of this caliber.
Well, we're very, very excited, yes.
Probably our top guest, unless we book Keith Partridge. If we get him.
Well, I could actually sing for you if you want, but no, I'm with Frank. I watch those, you know, not in reruns, but when they were first airing. I'm embarrassed to say, and I did watch it.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. The We should do a little. I wonder if how many of our listeners. Well, I wonder what demographic we're skewing to at this point, Shauna. Like how many of our, how many of our fans of the show actually saw first run episodes of the Partridge Family? You know, back in the day.
I don't know. I don't know if we should be asking that. People might get upset.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, let's get right into it. We got a lot of interesting topics to talk about tonight, and about why we're doing the A is HR Dead show. A few weeks ago, you know, maybe the beginning of September or so, there was a whole flurry of discussion and debate amongst most of the HR bloggers, that you know, the popular ones anyway. And I didn't write about it, of course, but around the topic of is HR dead or is it in serious need of transformation or revitalization? And it really got a lot of discussion, lots of blog articles, lots of comments, so we thought we would go ahead and do a show about it. So I'll just throw it out there. We talked a little bit about, you know, our guests, our panels have been, you know, our sort of leaders and veterans in the HR space, and I'll just toss it out to the group and whoever wants to jump in is to really say, is this really a new discussion about HR being dead or irrelevant, or has this been going on for a long time?
I think you said, Steve, didn't you say it had been going on for like 13 or 15 years and maybe longer than that?
Yeah, some of the articles. Yeah, some of the articles I found were pretty dated. I mean, is this something in the last 5-10 years? It's been going on for 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah, this is China, and I loved the discussion in the HR blog world because it was so thoughtful, and it was, you know, there were some controversial positions and there were some, just great discussion. But and I think it's an interesting. I really do think it's an interesting conversation to have, but I think it's kind of a red herring. It's a red herring, like the question, when is HR going to get a seat at the table? Is a red herring. I kind of think it's the wrong question to ask, but because it takes you down rabbit holes that I'm not so sure are helpful for the profession. And I may be the lone voice with that position on the call tonight, but it has been asked a lot, and because it's been asked a lot, like the seat at the table question, you know, and it keeps getting asked and asked and asked and asked. I don't think it's, you know, kind of the right question to ask. But and I know Mike has a completely different sort of perspective on that.
Well, I don't know that I do or don't. I mean, there's been so much discussion, and I think it's kind of my opinion's been kind of evolutionary a little bit in it that, you know, I go back and forth as the discussion does. But I don't think HR is dead. I just think there's kind of a big schism in the field, and some people are just kind of hanging on in it when they don't really want to be in it anymore, and others, are pretty passionate about changing it. But it seems like we can't get a handle on what kind of changes, if any, we should be making, and so it kind of screws up the role. I personally don't think it's dead. I think it's just not very well defined right now, and we don't have a good handle on our mission going forward.
Yeah, Frank, you any thoughts on that?
I think I'm coming down. I guess. You probably have three guests who are similar-minded in this. I mean, I guess I look at it quite definitively. I mean, I think saying HR is dead is, you know, the equivalent of saying finance is dead in the banking industry. I mean, I don't hear people saying that sort of thing. And, I mean, you know, we have a knowledge economy. That's clear, right? I mean, we're not really – almost no manufacturing is left in the United States. Unemployment's at its highest level in, 25 years. Healthcare is getting discussed at the dinner table every night and on the news every night. You know, we have a pay czar, right? Somebody who's out there talking about setting pay, retirement. You know, there was a whole series this morning on CNN about people's 401k plans and the sort of the hidden fees in 401k plans. It seems to me that there's two parts to HR, and I hope that Michael, if you would get around to talking about those seven types of HR practitioners.
Yeah, I will, Frankie.
So I don't want to get into that, but I mean, I do think that the schism that Mike talked about is there. There's, you know, what do we think about HR? Yeah, the old, tired, HR person who's just sick and tired of employees. Yeah, I think those people could go away. I they're not doing a service to the business at all. But I do think the professionals, the people that are really the strategists that are thinking about what it's going to take to pay people in an economy that's like this and in a recovering economy, what we're going to do in terms of pay and motivation and getting culture right, then I say that part rocks. And, you know, HR is a long, long way from being dead.
Well, I have to really agree with that. And I think if you look at what's been happening, the response from the business world and from organizations to the economic, you know, dislocation of the last year plus has in many ways shown HR at its finest moment. I mean, certainly there have been lots of layoffs, and businesses and organizations have responded in ways that they felt that they had to. But for the first time in a downturn in my 30 years in the world of work, we also saw headlines around the creative use of people strategies and finance strategies to keep talent on board. We saw lots of experimentation, and I got to tell you, I don't think the creative use of furloughs and the coming up with reduced hour strategies so that, you know, nobody has to be laid off, and some of the really wonderfully creative strategies to protect the talent, to protect the brand, so that when an organization comes out of this financial time, they've got the right talent on board. I don't think that was finance coming up with those strategies. I don't think that was marketing. I don't think it was sales. I think it was HR. And I think it was the cumulative effect of strategic HR speaking loudly for a long time so that when it mattered most in the last year, it was that voice was heard. And I think that's to the credit of the HR profession. And are there folks out there that are tired? And, well, sure, but I don't, you know, are they even in HR anymore? I mean, the people who are doing HR and who are stepping up to the plate, I don't think anybody's looking around and saying, are those folks dead or is their function dead? I think they're saying, thank God they're here.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike, and then I'm going to jump to maybe some calls. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say to China's point, I think a lot of stuff gets done that has to get done simply in the moment. But there's this underlying theme about, you know, why are we not appreciated? And I can't figure out if that's just a self-created industry crisis, because, you know, I think when we had this discussion going lively on Twitter, a lot of people were saying that HR is really in a position unlike any other. I mean, if you're active and you're involved in the business and you understand what's going on, and you're dealing with people, I mean, you deal with people and issues that cut across the organization in ways that finance and some of these other staffy functions similar to us don't. But it seems like we get lost as professionals sometimes. And I guess that's a question I don't have an answer for, but I think it's one worth discussing at some point. So go ahead.
That is a good point. We might circle back to a couple of those points, and I do want to get to a few calls. There's a bunch of folks on the line. Let me just do a quick reset. The call-in number for tonight is 646-378-1086. If you want to call in and jump on and get on and ask a question, make a comment, that's great. Go ahead and press 1. If you're hanging out on the line and listening, that's cool too. If you've been hanging out for a while and do want to come on and ask a question or make a comment, you can go ahead and press 1 too, and then we'll try to get to as many calls as we can. There's a lot of folks on the line. Shauna, that's pretty cool. Again, we're getting, you know, and I wonder if we're going to get World Series talk tonight, though. I'm seeing a lot of...
Well, we'll probably get some World Series, but, I mean, this is the kind of topic that everyone wants to contribute to.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. So, you guys, you want to jump into some calls? What do you say?
Sure.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to my first caller here. Hi, area code 864. You are on the HR Happy Hour.
Is this Steve?
Paul? Yes, is that you, Paul?
Yeah, it's me. Yeah.
What do you got for us tonight, Paul?
Well, the only thing I was thinking is just, you know, one of the things is by having the conversation about is HR dead, does that create a impression that maybe I should be thinking about this? In other words, if HR wasn't talking about having a seat at the table and everything and just doing the work, would that change the conversation?
So stop talking about
Amen.
It and just do it?
I'm just asking.
A freaking M. I mean, that's exactly right. How self-defeating is it for HR to be asking, is HR dead? Well, if you're asking it, then it is dead for you. But
that's right. You can't find out about the state of water by asking fish. There's something that,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I think that very question is self-defeating, Paul, and I think that you brought up a very good point there. I don't think that finance is sitting around, you know, beating themselves up and trying to ask those kinds of questions. I don't think that marketing are sitting around and doing those kinds of things. I think, you know, the people who are saying it can't be done are often surpassed by the people actually doing it.
Right.
And I would guess there are lots of marketing folks who believe their senior leadership isn't listening to their great ideas. But they're not asking, is marketing dead? They're probably saying, so what is it about my approach that isn't being heard, as opposed to assuming that it's the entire profession?
Well, I think, China, one of the things that struck me is at the very beginning of this discussion, you said that, you know, the creativity of the HR folks is what brought about all these ideas. But I'm not seeing anything that I'm reading anywhere that's highlighting that. They keep talking about what the problems in HR are instead of what are the things that you're doing. I mean, it's, you know, marketing, boy, we'll be the first people to tell everybody how much the ROI was on a
yep.
project.
Yep.
But I don't hear that conversation.
Well, you're not reading HR. You're not reading Sherm's HR magazine, because we talk about that. We talk about that every month, and we talk about it online. And I'm truly not here to give a Sherm commercial. But I'm reading a lot about it in some of the HR sort of trade press. There's a great new article in the new Harvard Business Review by Rosabeth Moss Kanter about what would Peter Drucker say.
Yeah.
It's a great article, and he kind of takes sort of everybody to task, sort of including HR. But I think this is a time. This is a gut check time, I think, for every profession. And none more so, I mean, HR may feel it is for them, but none more so than the folks on Wall Street, right? So not is HR dead, is my bonus dead, is really the question. these folks are asking, and probably rightfully so. But I think it's a good point that we're not seeing a lot of business press that is really talking about the contributions and the decisions and the strategic strategies that organizations are using and crediting HR. That requires a lot of investment from a profession, PR for the profession perspective, which Sherm is working on, as are other organizations that support the HR profession.
Well, there's been some. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike, and then I want to make a couple more announcements, and then we'll keep going. Go ahead.
Okay. There's been an underlying theme. I think Charlene Lauby's been talking about it, and a couple others about, you know, PR. HR needs better PR, kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure that we need press releases and that kind of stuff, but it does seem to me that at times there's a couple influences. One is, I think HR people that are good are about getting work done. They're not always about releasing
taking
the news.
Credit. Yep.
Taking the credit. Yep. You work behind the scenes. I mean, that's kind of the nature of our job and our profession a lot of the time. And then the other thing is, I think at times when companies do things that are innovative and progressive, that give them a little bit of an edge, you don't necessarily want to release your people strategy. So we don't see the write-ups that we're not always the best at sharing. And I think sometimes the other thing is, decisions get made or influenced by HR people that are not translated into the public eye within an organization. And by that, I mean, quite often we'll have a discussion behind closed doors with operational people who then go out and execute strategy or decisions based on the discussions and recommendations from HR. But they don't go out and say, yeah, Mike and China were up there and gave me some really great suggestions. You know, so there's kind of a secondary level. So I'm done. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's a good discussion. I do want to just throw out a couple things. I'm kind of keeping an eye on now, due to technology, we've got more than one back channel going on. We've got the Twitter back channel and the Google Wave back channel going on. And I am keeping it. I'm watching you guys, Wavers. I've seen. I know what you're up to. So
that sounds ominous.
Yeah. But there have been a couple really interesting comments that has come through. I'll just throw out a couple of them. One is nobody under 25 knows who Peter Drucker is, which I thought was kind of funny. And what was the other one?
And probably true, right?
Yeah.
And a very sad comment at that, I might add, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
could be.
Because he was, never mind.
Yeah, and then some other comments really more about...
There were like world wars and various things that happened, too, before they were born, right?
Yeah, great. There's some other comments more about...
He's on the Gen Y's here.
Yeah. Well, we got to get our Gen Y rep in the house. But, you know, again, we did, jokingly kind of earlier in the week, I set out a little reading list for tonight's show. I tried to pull together a good collection of the different articles that we're really talking about the Is HR Dead topic, going back to the CFO magazine one a couple months ago about the CFO shouldn't trust the HR director, right? Remember that one from a couple months back? And
From a professor in the HR department at Rutgers.
Yeah, I know those professors. You got to look out for them. You got to watch those instructors. They rarely know what they're talking about. So So there were a couple really good comments, though, and I did say we were going to do maybe a little quiz for the folks. I'm going to throw out a little quote from one of the articles that was in your assigned reading, so folks on Twitter and on the Wave can try to chime in of who might have written this, but I'm going to throw it out there right now, and here it is. It's going to become a fad to integrate high-performing HR folks directly with operation groups in organizations. It already has in some forward-thinking companies. So if you know who wrote that, shout it out on Twitter or on the Google Wave. I may not see it on there, but if that was you who wrote it, you can shout out too. So,
I don't think I wrote it, but I think Lance might have.
Oh, you got the answer right. That's right. That was from Lance's article. And let's go ahead and take a call right now and get some more folks involved in the conversation. Hi, area code 503. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hey, this is Lance Hahn from
Reno.com. Hey, my winner.
Hey,
how are
you,
Lance? Hey, Lance.
How's it
Hello,
going?
Lance.
Lance, let me ask you a question. Did you recognize your own sentence there?
Actually, I'm like guilty. I definitely did not recognize that. But that's okay, though.
That's awesome.
Well, it was good.
So I guess my point is that I don't think by asking the question you're saying that HR is dead to you. I ask questions so that I can act. And so, my personal feeling is if you don't ask the question, then you're never going to address the real problem. So I think in a lot of ways, HR value is getting outsourced in a lot of areas. I think there's a lot of unclear goals and ROI related to HR in most organizations. And then I think they've still got a lack of business input. We're still mainly executing the company's initiatives instead of being involved in crafting those. I think certainly one of the things that holds us back is the fact that, I mean, a lot of HR professionals are encouraged to get certificates instead of MBAs. And I don't know any other business professional that does that. I truly don't. You're comparing it to finance. I don't know too many guys in finances that aren't looking at CPAs, and I'm now seeing a lot of those guys going for CPA MBA combos. That just makes a ton of sense if you're going to be a forward-thinking finance professional. So, I mean, I just think that, like, if you don't ask that question, if you don't address the fact that, hey, these organizations probably could survive without HR. In fact, a lot of smaller companies survive without a formal HR function. You know, you'll never get to the bottom of, okay, how can we really tackle some of the lingering issues in HR?
Well, you know, I'm not going to disagree with you because you're probably the smartest guy on the phone. But I think we have to be. That was just a curtsy to Gen Y.
Are you pandering, China?
Oh, pander. No, I never pander. But I think we have to be careful of overgeneralization. I think if you talk to IBM, I think if you talk to HP, I think if you talk to Agilent, I think if you talk to Nike, I think if you talk to Tata or Punj Lloyd or, you know, any of a number of thousands of brilliantly run organizations where HR isn't just executing stuff that other people do, but they are part and parcel of setting the whole strategy of the organization and making sure that all of the strategic initiatives of the organization are linked purposefully to the people management strategies. Are there organizations out there where HR isn't respected? Yeah, of course. Are there organizations out there who are thinking, gosh, my HR person or my HR department, I'm not seeing the ROI. Let's outsource them. Well, yeah, those conversations are happening all the time, but to systemically draw a broad brush against the whole profession, I just don't think it's accurate.
Yeah, China, those are great points. I think some of the problem definitely comes to, once in a while, one of these articles, whether it was the CFO guy, that professor guy, or the Fast Company piece a little while back, it gets so much play, especially in the more mainstream outlets, that it just, you know, crushes almost all the good things that are happening under their weight to some extent, right? I mean, it's hard to fight that kind of energy sometimes, right? HR need a new PR question is, I think, as a result of that.
Yeah, but you know what? So now I'm going to channel Lori Rudiman. Suck it up, dude. I mean,
well, I don't know if she would say. I think she might use a little more adult vocabulary. But.
I know she's listening because I'm watching her tweet. So I hope she's laughing at that. But really, I kind of think that's a pretty weak excuse. I'm sorry, but if you're an HR professional and you're certified or not, you've got a master's degree or not, but you are current, you are skilled, you are experienced, not just in the compliance and legal stuff of HR, but you're a significant leader, you've studied leadership as well, I'm sorry. Those people, they're not asking if HR is dead. They're asking questions like, how do I – what are we going to do next around growing our revenue? Because they're having that conversation with the CEO and the CFO and the head of marketing and the head of sales. I mean, is there a subset of folks that are asking the wrong questions, like is HR dead? Yeah. But I think there are in marketing, and I think there are in finance, and I think...
Well, right. The changes, the recession, the changing nature of work, and the adoption of technology on such a wide scale basis is changing fundamentally lots of different professions. Probably not just HR, right? Marketing,
right.
Communications, sales, even, right? Hey, let's do a quick reset. Again, HR Happy Hour. The is HR Dead Show. Call in number 646-378-1086. If you want to come on the show, go ahead and press 1. If you want to just hang out and listen on the phone, that's cool too. On Twitter, we've got a back channel, HR Happy Hour. And if you're one of the cool kids, the really lucky ones, the special ones, want to take the conversation underground on the Google Wave, there's a wave out there for that. So, apparently, well, I.
Not everybody got those invites, so.
Keeping an eye on it. So, let's take a couple more calls. There's been a few folks waiting on the line for quite a while. Let's see if we can pull up a couple of folks here. Hang on. Hi, area code 408. You're on the HR Happy Hour.
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hi.
This is Mark Bennett.
Mark, how are you, pal?
Hi.
Good, how are you?
Great.
So, building on what China and what Lance were saying, I guess part of it, what do you guys think of going back to beyond HR and about how, you know, there's two aspects to HR. There's the HR profession, and then there's this other thing that's more like a science that, you know, China was talking about what, you know, the leaders do. That seems to be part of the problem. It's not like people run around and talk about all the wonderful things accountants do and so forth. They talk more about finance, right? Finance always gets all the, you know, the plaudits and everything and all of the oohs and ahs. So it seems that part of it is that the profession of HR about just compliance and governance seems seems to be the one that everybody focuses on and identifies with the name HR. And as part of this, just people not understanding that there is this other aspect to it that's more about the science behind how to get more strategic success from your workforce.
So I'm going to ask a question of Mark and of the panel itself. One of the things that came up in some of your homework, if you did it, was some discussions about just restructuring HR in general. Take the compliance and the legislative compliance kind of stuff and move that over to the accountants. Let them have it. And then keep the strategic stuff in the core HR organization. Does that make sense to anybody? Would you advocate for that?
Personally, I wouldn't. Not to accounting, anyway. I wouldn't send that compliance. I hate that stuff, but I wouldn't send it to accounting because it just doesn't fit well there, I don't think.
Or send it somewhere else. Get it out of what's...
Yeah, send it somewhere else. Yeah.
Well, I don't know too many HR professionals except perhaps employment attorneys who really love that stuff. But given the current legislative environment and given an administration that thinks it's an HR expert, I wouldn't let go of that for all the money in the world, because the ability now to link all of those changes strategically to the business plan and to the workforce planning that has to be done in every business, no matter what size a business it is, with the rapidly changing regulatory environment that HR, really, the business has to deal with, and not have CEOs and HR people going to jail because they messed up. I mean, you don't get much more strategic than that, and I wouldn't send that someplace else.
But do you get the feeling, and I see this a lot, you know, from the systems perspective and the stuff I do with human resources technology, that we get so bogged down in legislation, regulations, and policies and procedure stuff that it really does compromise the organization's ability to do really strategic initiatives, like some of the things Mark was talking about. And what do we do about that? Let's just say we're not going to get rid of that department or that function is going to always reside in HR. What can we do to make that less onerous and less of a burden on the profession and the people who do it?
Vote for new representatives and senators in your government who aren't going to overburden us with regulations that are designed to put us out of business.
Hold those rat bastard politicians accountable.
But isn't it also a response to, I mean, a lot of the times it's a response to the lack of what happened in the business world. I mean, you look at that, Sarbanes-Oxley. I mean, that's just an overreaction by the government. But it was a business problem to start off with. I mean, if we had a method of self-governance within organizations, we'd be worrying less about the government. Now we've kind of built some of this ourselves, and we're wallowing in it. It's really sad.
You know, organizations are driven by that stuff. I mean, I worked for a company for a while where the main HR initiative was called Operation Watertight, and it was all about figuring out how to plug up every hole in compliance. I mean, that was the most boring job I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I lasted all of 3 months.
And does that also include just like the internal policies and all of that wasted time?
Because yep, and socks and all that stuff.
Socks is fine. I mean, because those are government regulations. But I mean, I do think that there is an aspect of HR that is, you know, the rule makers, right? They're everybody, you know, they want to be the moms and the dads to the little kids. And I do think that, you know, when we're talking about strategic HR, you know, bluntly, that is that you actually trust people. And when the opposite of that is that we don't trust people, that we think everybody is trying to get away with things. And so what we end up with is, you know, certain cadre of HR people, amateur lawyers, people who don't have law degrees but, you know, want to practice law, and trying to put in those kinds of crazy policies and procedures that I think are antithetical to business success. And I want to add on a little bit to what Lance said, which is I think is a really good point to be made about people getting professional degrees, CPAs, certifications, those sort of things. Those are business people. And I think that the only way that we really can say that HR are going to really do some good things is when we can say that HR are business people. People who know that, HR people who are business people, are certainly the ones who are not asking whether HR is dead. They're the ones who are just moving the thing along. But I do think there's this split. And I think, Mike, I hope at some point you're going to be able to get into that, those two pieces of that seven that you did. Just
to talk about
that. Because
this would be a good time to do that.
Well, I wrote this post, and I
created out of my own head seven types of HR practitioners, and I defined them essentially as in red, green and red. And to me, there are people who come into the organization or are part of the organization that do work. They go about it. They do it professionally. They do it really well. And that's kind of the middle group. So I just call those professionals. They kind of keep the business on track. They don't necessarily take it to new heights, but they keep it going and they do the thing professionally. Then there are a couple other categories, specialist and expert, that come into the organization or are part of the organization where they really take it to the next level through their expertise or adding new experience to the knowledge base. And then there's the rock star that just comes in and really drives it to new heights. Those are the kind of the top performers, the people that really go about making stuff happen. At the bottom, it seems to me that there are a lot of organizations, and sometimes I think people get typecast in these roles, and sometimes I think they take them upon themselves. And these are the ones that really bother me in the HR profession. I called the first one the preventer, and I said that's the shadowy version of a professional. They believe their role, they personally believe that their role as an HR practitioner is to keep the business on track by preventing anything bad from taking place. We can't get sued. We can't get this violation. We can't break these rules. And so they become so anal about those types of things that they add no value. And, in fact, they fulfill the stereotype that we're all about being the HR police. Placeholder, just kind of at the bottom rung, placeholder is just somebody who's hanging on because they really can't do the work anymore, and they're just trying to keep their chair warm as long as possible. And then a victim who really buys into this whole thing that HR is dead and really just, you know, they're just ineffective. So that was my kind of main contribution, which Frank liked a lot. I just think there are, you know, and that kind of reflects that schism I'm talking about. Some people seem to be about just kind of getting things done and surviving on a daily basis, and then there's a bunch of others who want to take it forward. We just don't get the press, publicity, et cetera, that really makes it stand out. So,
you know, there's sort of a flip side to that, and you know, it's hard to argue with any of that. I mean, and much of that I think is right on the money. But HR being part of the strategic leadership of the organization requires another partner, and that's the CEO. And I have this kind of theory, so stick with me for just a minute. You know, like, when you're the music that you listen to in high school and college sort of remains your music, you know, for the rest of your life.
It's, like it's the Parker popular. Family?
Yeah, well, sort of. I think for the current generation of CEOs, how they experienced HR, or God help us, personnel, when they were coming up, when they had their first general management job, their general manager job, when they got their first VP title, the way they experienced HR then is how they have grown to expect HR to be now. And so that's the kind of thing they're asking for. They're asking, you know, in many cases, they're asking for the rules because that's how they learned it. It's like our folks parent us the way their folks parented them. They're relating to HR the way HR was relating to the leadership when they were coming up. And so to them, you know, HR might be dead. But don't you think we have a responsibility to really stand up and by our actions, not so much demanding and certainly not asking are we dead, but by our actions of being strategic, of offering strategic solutions, of partnering as a business partner, not an HR rule traffic
cop. Yeah, you don't want to be the compliance police and the moms and dads.
Yeah,
and
I mean, isn't it up to us to behave in the strategic leadership way that we know HR should be and we have the view of it? Shouldn't we be behaving that way and sort of demanding our partners to be demanding that from us as opposed to just sort of given what we think they want? Because I think a lot of the HR folks who are caught in that compliance trap and look like they like it, nobody likes that. They're doing it because that's what's being asked of them from the top of their organization, and that's because the top of their organization doesn't know any better.
Can let me just hold you for 1 second. I want to do a quick look at the calls. There's a lot of folks on the line, and I want to jump into a few more calls. I'm going to quit giving out the number, I think, because we're up to like 18 people on the line.
Wow.
I know
wow.
We're not going to get to all the calls, but it's great conversation, and let's take a few more calls and get a few more folks involved. So let's go to, let's see, here we go. Hi, area code 847. You are on the HR Happy Hour.
Once again, it is my honor, Steve, to be on HR Happy Hour. It's Jason Seiden.
Jason.
Hey, Jason. Jason.
How are you?
I'm great.
Should we plug your book? Should we plug your book?
Yep. Yes. Right ahead. Actually,
plug away.
And if you can all just hang tight. Steve and I have some business to talk to.
Yeah, we have a private matter to take care of.
So, yeah, there's a new book coming out next week, 2 weeks, Super Staying Power. Everybody should be aware of that. You know, I've been listening. I think it's a fantastic discussion. I actually have a blog post that I wrote earlier that's going live tomorrow. I look at this question a little bit differently. The question that I ask is more from the business person's perspective, and my question is the P&L dead? Because when we start talking about taking experts from HR and from these other functions and baking them into where the P&L has traditionally sat, what you end up with is a very complex matrixed organization where it's very difficult to draw direct lines between cause and effect. And as much as that might be frustrating because, does HR live in HR or the line, where that's really going to be felt, where that really hurts, are the people who are responsible for top and bottom line results. Because now they've got all these specialists working for them who, are controlled through some matrix up to some corporate person who they have no authority over.
Mm. Yeah, Jason, that's an excellent point. And I do want to shout out something. We won't make all the arrangements today, but since Jason did call in, and so I don't forget, next week the HR Happy Hour show will be out of Chicago. It'll be at Jason's event, Jason and Lori's event, Fail Spectacularly. Doing a live show next Wednesday night. At a special day for the HR Happy Hour, Wednesday night next week, and probably the same time. We're still working out all the details, and I'm really looking forward to that event and doing the show from the Fail Spectacularly in Chicago.
We are looking forward to having you.
That's going to be great.
Shauna,
we need a banner or something. We need like a show banner.
We do.
And I also, by the way, when China was talking about the difference, the CFOs and the CEOs in particular sort of in their early parts of their careers and their relationship with the human resources organization and really known as maybe even the personnel organization, I got the idea for what our new theme song should be.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did. It should be that Depeche Mode song, Personnel Jesus. Get it? Like Personnel Jesus. It's perfect, right?
It's a little mellow, don't you think?
I don't know. I just like the way that kind of, No, all right, we'll think about it. We have a week to sort that out. Well, I'm going to take another caller or two. Hey, Frank, let me get a quick reset on the World Series game while I pull up another call.
Oh, jeez.
1-0 Phillies and just an incredible catch by Raul Ibanez just now. So,
way to multitask, Frank. Way too
good. So Frank's in a good mood.
Absolutely.
Hey, country code 44. You are on the HR Happy Hour.
Ooh.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Bill Gorman.
Hey, Steve.
Hello, Bill Gorman.
Hi, how are you? Quick question and great show, Steve.
Thank you.
I've noticed as an outsider, it seems to be only the HR people that are talking about HR being dead.
Yes. Amen. Thank you very much.
And something I've observed is I think you're beginning to have the same problem as recruiters in that you're actually the people knocking the profession is the people within the profession, not the people outside it. And I just wonder why we think that is.
Why are we so hard? Why is HR so hard on ourselves?
Why are you so hard on brand HR?
I'll take some of that.
To take a book
from China's, they're not talking about it, they're just doing it. They're just outsourcing. The ones that are not happy with HR aren't talking about them outsourcing HR or making them a non-issue in their organization anymore. They're just doing it. I mean, it's not something that they talk about actively. It's just something that's happening, I think. I mean, it's not as broad as maybe you're assuming I'm talking about, but it's happening that way.
Yeah.
So increasingly you're seeing outsourcing, but if you outsource a function, is the person not doing that function still in HR? They're just doing it in a different hat.
Yeah, technically. I mean, once you get into an outsourcing relationship, certainly sort of that internal perspective on the relationship and the function changes quite a bit. It's a good question though, and a good thought. I do want to just do one more quick reset. There's a bunch of people on the line. If you do want to get on the show, there's some, we could probably squeeze a few more calls in. Go ahead and press 1 if you're hanging out on the line and actually want to come on. There's about 8 or 9 of you hanging out.
Wow.
The call-in number is 646-378-1086. We got about 15 minutes to go. I did, because we keep running over on the show, Shauna, and the list of plugs gets longer and longer. I did put an extra half hour. I did put an extra half hour on the show just to be safe, and we certainly don't have to. We don't have to go that far. While we're at it, let's. How about you want to do another quiz? Another quiz from the homework.
Ooh.
You want it? Okay, here it goes.
I like quizzes.
Which blogger wrote this? You know what HR gets right? Nearly everything. You know what HR gets wrong? Not knowing how to talk about doing things right.
People who wrote that? Recognize when we do something wrong.
Anybody on Twitter, on the Twitter stream knows who did that? Anybody on the line knows who wrote that?
I think that was from the bartender.
From HR bartender? No, that was not the HR bartender.
Okay.
I can't believe
it wasn't
just
me.
Like, who said that? Is that Frank?
It was Mike.
No, it wasn't you, Mike.
I didn't think so. It didn't sound like me.
I can't believe it. No one did the homework, Shauna. And the person who wrote that line is on the phone right now.
Oh, would it be Frank?
It was Frank.
Frank!
I recognize the shortness of my sentences.
Yeah, come on.
Well said, Frank.
I also want to mention today, too, just as an aside while we move on to the next topic, today is National Cat Day. And it is, yeah. And so if you have a cat, you know, just make sure you're taking extra special care of that cat today.
He wasn't letting me type earlier. She finally got off. Did you hear the purring in the phone? She was really loud.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Hey, so let's go on. The last sort of big – yeah, that was –
sure.
What I want to get into a little bit is, you know, is HR dead stuff is kind of interesting. It's lively. It gets some good conversation going. But let's talk a little bit more about sort of going forward and sort of more looking towards the future, right? What are the two or three things that you guys, that the panel would say or any of the folks have called in, what two or three things would you say are most essential for today's HR, an HR leader to be thinking about, to be getting better at in order to further the profession?
I have three.
Go ahead.
I'd say these come down, and they sound like soft words, but I think that there's a lot to them. Culture, leadership, and management. I think if they get those right, then those are going to be the things that are going to be, when we talk about strategic HR, culture means a lot more than just the sort of the soft stuff, and do we have, you know, cakes for people's birthdays on the, you know, once a year, but it is the whole work environment. It's everything that has to do with, and when people are going to buy into working in a company and staying in a company, I think getting that culture right, and, you know, people know that. I mean, there's different kinds of cultures. There's Zappos culture, certainly, right? And there's a GE culture. I mean, if you've got to want to talk about two diametrically opposed ones, and people know and love both of them, right? But when they get those right, they do that. Training leaders to be leaders and really teaching managers to be managers. I think that what HR, when people sometimes talk about is HR dead, is because the hall monitors in HR love nothing more than to sort of step in and let and keep doing these manager workarounds rather than holding managers accountable and saying, okay, managers, your job is to manage. It's not just to be somebody who's just, you know, gotten the most promotions or somebody who's the best at PowerPoint. Your job is to work with people and understand people, and providing those kinds of things, I think, end up being the kinds of HR leaders that I know. People are running HR organizations. People are working with CEOs. People who have been, you know, have been incredible trajectories at major international companies that we work with. I mean, I think they get these things right each and every time.
Yeah, Frank, that's a great point. It reminds me of something, and I want to thank also Tracy Tran, who mentioned this to me on Twitter and told me I should mention it, and he's right. I was at an event about a month ago in Washington, and one of the speakers was the vice president of human resources for Northrop Grumman, and she had said that the most fundamentally important sort of aspect of her managerial training coming up that resulted in her being the vice president of HR for this massive organization was the time she spent as a line manager on a production line. working with people, learning how to deal with people, learning how to run that aspect of the business in a very hands-on, very, very sort of in their manner, day-to-day, grinding it out with you know, a dozen or so workers. And that was critical to her development, her future HR skills. So would you say, you know, for someone who aspires to become a leader or a manager, director, vice president of HR, that they should really actively seek out those kind of positions or stretch assignments?
Are you asking Frank or others?
Anybody who can take it. Anybody's got a good answer.
For me, I cannot imagine that somebody could spend an entire career only in HR. I mean, I just think that, you know, if you think about the companies that really do it right, there are rotation programs. If you think about how a DuPont, for example, does it, those people have run businesses. They've had P&L experience. They often have had, you know, major international experience. And I think that you tend to find these kinds of things, the really well-rounded ones. Look at Anne Mulcahy at Xerox, and look at the kinds of things that she did there. I think that that just ends up being essential.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, all right, so management, leadership, culture, that's great. What about as the key initiator of unlocking the impact of talent on your strategic success, on making profit? I mean, that's what people are in business for anyway, is to make profit. And there is so much untapped potential in the workforce because managers don't look at their workforces this way and they're missing out. And HR has the skill set about connecting people to profit.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so
what
to work.
I mean,
I would take that a step further, because there are lots of organizations out there that are nonprofit organizations, they're academic institutions, they're nonprofits. Link it directly to profit, because there are lots of organizations out there that aren't primarily concerned with profit. It's linking people strategies to the strategic outcomes of your business plan. And
yes,
so
okay.
In some organizations, that's profit. In some organizations, it's shareholder value. In some organizations, it's meeting the mission. And in my organization, it's meeting the mission through growing membership and thought leadership and global influence for the HR profession. I mean, we don't measure our success based on profit. But I got to tell you, our smart strategic chief HR officer, he's involved, he's driving the budget process, he's driving the operating plan process in partnership with the CFO. We can't, in our organization, it's the same thing.
So, China, I bet one of the things that you do that a lot of people may not do is when we talk about this stuff, I think HR on a very practical level needs to understand the difference between doing the things that you're talking about and simply checking boxes and having people do 360s and talent reviews and performance management appraisals and compliance work. And
exactly.
I'm thinking, and I'm guessing this is the point you were driving at, was to be successful and to do the things that Frank was just talking about, HR needs to take the time to do the basic stuff, and before jumping to the heady stuff, make sure that everybody else around is clear that you and HR know the difference between checking a box and truly working with that person to bring out their best.
Yeah, I think that's right. So I think that's exactly right. And I think you said what are the three things you need to know, you know, to be successful in HR or to do HR the way we're talking about it. So it depends on if you're just coming into the workforce or you're a mid-level HR director, or you are, you know, Randy McDonald or Dennis Donovan. Your perspective and the needs change from where you sit. But if you're going to be in HR, I'm going to presuppose and I'm going to take for granted that you're going to know HR. I'm going to take for granted that you're going to have a degree that's related. I'm going to take for granted that you care enough about this profession that you're going to get certified. So I'm going to take for granted that you know the basic building blocks and beyond of how to do good HR. And beyond that, you have to know business. You have to know how organizations work, what the economic and business models are, and how it all works together. You have to know, be comfortable with, and talk about strategy. And these days, you got to be innovative.
Right.
Take for granted the HR competency stuff, because you can't be in HR without it. You can't, whether you're the only HR person or you're part of a 5,000-person HR department. You've got to know HR to be in HR. But if you're going to be a successful HR leader, it's got to be linked to business. It's got the business model, the economic model, and you have to understand it and speak that language. You have to be linked to the strategy, know it, and speak that language, and be credible speaking that language. And these days, more than anything else, you really have to be innovative.
So, this is a very interesting point. I see that having all of those attributes can be a great plus. But is it possible that by putting a box around HR that says you have to have the certifications and so forth might eliminate people coming in who could bring a lot to that department and say, okay, that person I'm working with, he has a certification or she has a certification. I have the business background. Together we can join forces and create a department that provides greater value to the corporation.
I don't know. Would you hire a controller who wasn't a CPA?
Well,
but they're great with numbers. They were a math major. They were great with numbers, and they know their way around a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Right. It depends on the role, right? Because you explicitly pointed out the controller role. But what about the department in general? Is there room under that tent for people who don't have certifications, who work in partnership with the people who do have the certifications, and together they create greater value for the whole corporation?
Yeah,
I absolutely think there is, but my question is then, are they an HR person? Or are they serving a rotational assignment so they understand HR and how it works in the whole enterprise? Do they really want to ascend into strategic HR leadership? I mean, I think there's definitely a place for rotating other kinds of expertise into an HR department. Absolutely. But is that really how we want to lead HR going forward? It might be. I'm not sure.
It's hard. I don't want to get too bogged down in the certification degree kind of game a little bit too, because not that I don't think it's interesting and probably a good discussion, but it's probably a different kind of discussion maybe than the one we're having, I'd hope to be a little bit more.
That's a different
broad-based, but I think I see that even in my program. You know, I teach in a master's of human resources program, and we'll get, I've had that same discussion all the time, right? Should HR pros be in my program, or should they be taking an MBA? And it's a good discussion, and it's definitely it's worth talking about, certainly, and something that maybe we could do a show on it if enough people wanted to talk about it.
Hey, Steve, this is Mike.
Go ahead.
I got two other things I'd add. I think that where some people break down, I think two critical things that HR people also need to be able to do to be effective. One is build alliances in the organization. You have to learn, mm-hmm. you have to learn how to work with the people in other parts of the organization in a way that they see you as effective. So sometimes you have to meet them beyond the rules and the police role and all that kind of stuff. And then the other thing that I think is really important is in HR, and I don't think enough HR people do it as aggressively as I would like to see, is you kind of got to rock the boat once in a while. You've got to challenge the status quo, and because I think there are enough other functions, accounting and quality control and those kind of things that keep the organization in line and in process. I think HR has to challenge some of the roles just to give a different dynamic to the organizational thinking from time to time. So I would add those to Frank's list because I agree with all those others as well.
All right, I'm gonna throw out one more probably for tonight, which is for me, right? I'm a teacher. I have students coming into my class every few months, young, sort of mid-career, some HR professionals all want to get into HR. They love HR. They want to become great HR folks. You know, they ask me a lot, what should I really be focusing on? How do I make a difference in my organization? So what advice do you have for the young person, the Gen Y, millennial type person who feels like they want to be in HR? What are a couple pieces of advice you might give them? Besides, and don't anybody like wise guys shout out, don't do it. I know someone's going to come up with that.
Be positive, people.
Well, I would turn them. I don't know why I'm hawking Harvard Business Review tonight, but about a year ago there was
a
great
article.
Are they
a show sponsor, Shauna? I don't think they are.
They should be. You should call them and ask for some money. But in July and August,
That's how it works.
In July and August last year, there was a great article by two recent Harvard MBA grads. The title of the article was "Why Did We Ever Go into HR?" And it was a really great first-person article by these two young people who'd been Harvard MBA students and on purpose and thoughtfully chose to go into HR because they thought that's where the strategic action was going forward. That's where they thought they could make the biggest difference the most quickly, and it was about talent management, it was about talent recruitment, and it was about how to put their newly minted strategic skills to work for the most maximum impact as quickly as possible. So that would be one of the first places I would send them.
Anyone else? Jump in. What do I tell my students?
Well, I think another key area is to get some really great examples of some younger HR leaders that are actually working on stuff that's interesting and inspire them to go into organizations with that sort of mentality rather than the I fell into HR mentality, which is, you hear about that a lot, unfortunately. Give them some inspiration. I mean, marketing people have just like natural, like a lot of leaders that do inspiring things, come up with great ideas. Let's catch them up with those people and let's get them, let's tell their story.
Yeah, I like that idea a lot, Lance. That's a really solid idea. You know, someone asked on Twitter, why do the students want to be in HR in the first place? That's a good question as well. I mean, I don't usually sort of get too in depth with them about why they're in the program in the first place, but it's probably worth exploring. I think really for any program or profession that someone's thinking about heading into. Hey, we're hit just about over an hour. I think we've really covered a lot of ground, hopefully made some interesting points and had some good discussion. What I want to do is just do a quick runaround to the guests and anyone else who's on the line for just real quick final thought, a shout out, plug anything you're working on or any place you'll be, which is great, anything you want to mention. And I will start with Frank, and you can also give us a Phillies, the Yankees score too, Frank, if you want.
Still 1-0 Phillies, and let's see what's going on. I'm going to be talking at the audience conference next week in New York. I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a no slideshow. This is going to be actually talking to people and a whole bunch of different kinds of people. Everything from me doing HR communication stuff and talking about talking to audiences from 440,000 people to entertainers and musicians and all sorts of things. So I'm going to look forward to that. So if anybody around New York, I think that's going to be a good conference.
Cool. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks.
How about you, Mike?
Man, I'm just I'm going to celebrate my 5th wedding anniversary tomorrow, so that's like the one thing I can't forget about.
Oh, congratulations.
Thanks, yeah, because I can't forget about it or I'll suffer the proverbial death, right?
I'm sure she will.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. And I've been kind of less involved in stuff on the social media side because I got a lot of stuff going on in the real world. And that's going to continue through the end of the year. So I'm going to be just an intermittent blogger and kind of doing some other stuff when I have time. So I'll probably see y'all more next year. All right?
Well, thanks for coming on tonight, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having us. It was great.
Yeah. China, any shout-outs? Anything you want to mention?
Well, I just this is always such a great conversation on your show. You've got great listeners and callers in and always a terrific topic. You know, at CHRM, we're always looking at really our mission. Half of our mission is how do we advance the profession. So while I take exception with these what I call these red herring questions, they are the questions of the day for our profession. There's just no question about it. If our members, who are some of the most talented, savviest HR professionals in the world, if they're asking these questions, attention should be paid. And so we're in the final stages of our strategic plan and operating plan for next year and are really looking at, for example, how do we engage and support the emerging and the young professional. We're going to be putting together some interesting programs and approaches for engagement with this crowd, not necessarily an age demographic, but emerging, not just the young professionals, but the emerging professionals as well. And it's a part of the profession that we're really going to be paying a lot more attention to, and so this engagement has been very useful. And would love to hear from anybody who's listening on Twitter. I'm at China Gorman. Any ideas that you have, and I'm happy to talk offline on the phone or through email about ideas that you might have to help us really consider this topic and really do this outreach and engage with the young and the emerging HR professionals. Would love to hear from anybody.
Great. China, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
No problem. Lance, are you still with us?
Yeah. I'm going to be in Chicago. I'm going to be at the FAIL party next week, and I'm going to be at HR Evolution on the 6th and the 7th in Louisville. And I'll give my shout out to China, who's always great, even if I disagree with her.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, Lance. I'll see you at both of those events, actually, and we'll talk about that one more second. And I think Jason, I know you got a lot going on, Jason. Anything you want to mention?
Did we lose Jason?
I think we lost him. Okay, that was
Uh-oh.
You know I called on him cold. I didn't give him that warning, but I'll see Jason next week. Shauna, is there anything you need to talk about before I get into our list of upcoming shows?
Well, Venting HR guy wanted us to plug that he's looking for people's Halloween stories, like Halloween costume stories, and I am looking for people's pictures of their coworkers tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, that's mean. That's really mean, Shauna.
It's a contest. The best one, either best because.
All right, so baby, get this straight. So on your blog, hrminion.blogspot.com, you want pictures of your coworkers in goofy Halloween costumes. That's what we're looking for.
Or really cool ones or creative ones, and there'll be some fabulous yet-to-be-named prize.
Awesome. Okay, cool. And then our friend Venting, who was great on the show last week, Venting HR guy, he's looking for more, what was he looking for again? Crazy Halloween stories?
Halloween costume stories.
All right, we'll get those links back out there. We'll tweet them out or put them on the show notes as well. We're running out of time, though, right? The Halloween is this weekend.
Right, it's Saturday.
All right, let me just quickly make a couple announcements of what's going on with the show. I'm so glad for the folks who listen, who called in. We've had a lot of fun these last few weeks, done a couple of really goofy and interesting shows and some serious ones like tonight, and I hope folks are enjoying the show. If there's any comments or suggestions you want to make about the show besides, you know, the Twitter comments and the Wave comments, if you want to go ahead and give us some feedback directly, you can go to the show website, which is hrhappyhour.net. And there's a couple of contact links there. You can send us information if there's someone you want to pitch for the show, you want to come on the show, you have an idea for an upcoming show, or just anything you want to tell us. You can go to hrhappyhour.net. And all the show archives are there, too, from all the prior shows you can find on that site. So that was that. So next week, Shauna, next week, Wednesday, November 4th, on a Wednesday, not a Thursday, next Wednesday, November 4th,
right.
HR Happy Hour. We'll be coming to you live from the FAIL Spectacularly Party in Chicago. And I just want to say a big thank you to our friends at Acquire Software for making that show possible.
We love you, Acquire.
Oh, Lois and Acquire, they're fantastic. Great.
Totally.
And if they have a great product as well that we use here at the school and for organizational mapping and charting. And they're just great people. So we'll be out at the FAIL party next week. Lori, Jason, and a whole sort of Lance is going to be there. I'll arm wrestle him to come sit in on the show for a few minutes probably and a few other folks. So we're going to have a really good time at that show. We may even go 2 hours on that show.
Really?
Yeah, I think we're going to. I think we're going to go ahead and just, you know, hunker in. I heard there's an open bar, so that'll help. And
That does help.
Yeah. And so then really coming back fast for a special show on November 7th, which is going to be Saturday, probably at noon Eastern time. Noon Eastern time on Saturday, November 7th, we're going to do a show live from the HR Evolution.
Yeah, that'll be so much fun.
Yeah, and this, Shauna, this will be the first time of any of these shows you and I will actually be together doing the show.
First time we'll meet, too, in person.
I know. That is great. Great. I'm sure you've heard lots of great things about me. I am phenomenal.
You're very dapper in person, too.
Yes, I am. That's all the rumors are true. You know,
Jeff, we'll have to get the Steve Bose fan club back together.
Yeah, no, that's
where are my girls at?
Yeah, that's quite all right. I'm trying to see if I'm making some of those comments to see if anyone's still actually listening, because I know I get some insults on the tweet stream for those comments. But yeah, so we'll be at HR Evolution. But serious about HR Evolution, there's about 6 or 7 or maybe 8 spots left for HR Evolution. It's an unconference organized by Trish McFarlane and Ben Eubanks in Louisville, Kentucky. It's going to be fantastic. Lots of the folks you know will be there. The show will be there, and just a lot of the really, really great, smart people in the space will be there. If you want to check that out and sign up, it's you can go to the website. It's hrevolution.eventbrite.com to register, and you can check that out. If you have any questions, just there's a contact form on that page. You can let us know. But time's running out on that, so
get
down to HR Evolution. It's going to be fantastic.
Only about a week left.
That's right. And last show I think that we have booked is November 12th, back on our normal time, Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. We're doing a special Fistful of Talent edition on
the very
happy hour. Right? So everybody knows the Fistful of Talent, the great blog, multi-author blog run by Chris and Dunn, Jessica Lee, and a whole assortment of great and talented folks who write on that blog. So we're gonna rustle up as many of them as we can. I had to guilt Chris Dunn into inviting Tim Sackett to come on, but I don't think he really wanted to, but I think I worked that out. So hopefully as many of those guys will come on, and we'll have a fun time just chatting with the Fistful of Talent crew on November 12th. And so I think that's it. We were working on the November 19th show. We should have that nailed down soon. And,
hopefully, yeah.
That's it. That's a long list of plugs. Is there anything else?
That is.
One more for you, Steve. Don't forget London Recruiting Unconference, 19th.
Go ahead, Bill. I forgot you're still on the line. Go ahead and give a shout-out to your
The Recruiting Unconference in London on November the 19th. If anyone wants to come over, you'd be more than welcome. It's going to be a great show.
So you're competing with CIPD?
I'm competing with CIPD.
I think that's bad for
him. I'm adding on. We're on conferencing, so no PowerPoint.
And my friend Andy Hedworth is going to be at that conference too.
Who's listening at the moment, is doing the is running the Blogging for Business track.
That's fantastic.
And
all right, shout out to
Matt Alder and quite a few guys you'll know.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's going to be a great event, and I'm sure you guys are going to have a great time at that. And, hopefully next year I can get over there to it. So great. Good job, Bill. Thanks for calling in tonight. All right.
Great show.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. I think that's it. I'm tired. You know, it's I've got one more pork slap pale ale here ready to go. So I think that's it for tonight.
Drink it down.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. HR Happy Hour is out. Good night, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Good night. Good night.
Bye.
Hello world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy. We had a dream, we'd go traveling together. We spread a little love and then we'll keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy feeling when we're singing a song. We'll make you happy.